Save big money on your roofing project at Menards with Owens Corning Shingles. Your roof is the first line of defense against the elements and enhances the appearance of your home's exterior. Owens Corning Duration Shingles offer ultimate protection and impressive curb appeal. Choose from 24 colors of Owens Corning Duration Shingles and transform your home today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. Hello, and welcome back to the Pretty Little Podcast. We are your hosts.
My name is Phoebe.
And my name is Caroline. And today, we are going to be diving into the pop culture updates of the last week, including, of course, the Emmy Awards, which I do find to be, maybe the least exciting award show.
I really enjoy the Emmys only because I just feel like TV might be my favorite. One of my favorite mediums. I will say this host was a complete miss.
Yeah. I mean,
it was terrible.
I just don't really understand why no one's wanting to hear more from a straight white man. You know? Sorry.
Right.
am I wrong?
It wasn't so much that for me. It was
that's why he wasn't good, but why are we prioritizing those people?
I would have loved it.
Hosts?
I loved Conan at the Oscars, thought he did awesome.
Low key different vibe than a straight white man. I know he is, but different vibe. I mean, Colbert could have done it. You know what I mean? That's different. Not this fucking comedian, you know what I mean?
Right. It didn't work for me. I was willing to give him a chance, but it fell flat. And I just don't know, again, we talk about it every time we talk about award shows. I don't know why we didn't learn from the Tonys the speech cut off.
Yeah.
We need to stop that. And
I know.
Also, I don't know how later in the night it wasn't okay, we need to cut this because this is weird as fuck that after emotional speeches are given, you're then putting up how much money they just cut off from your donation. It was so weird. And I just think grossly miscalculated.
I thought that was really bizarre as well. It was I guess the intentions were there.
Sorry, the monologue was super long. There were plenty of other things that I was you're so concerned about saving time with the speeches, but you're giving all this other time to do stuff that I don't care about.
Well, I'm going to be honest, aside from. Also, you know what? There should be a conversation, and I at the risk of sounding ignorant, there should be a conversation around the amount of marketing that needs to be done and how it should be positioned for award shows. And what I mean by that is, do we need the commercial breaks in the same amount when people are wearing brands, people are referencing things in their speeches, the event is already sponsored by certain companies. Can that not be the commercial?
But CBS
aspect?
Isn't getting paid.
I know. That's where I'm at the risk of sounding ignorant. But also, yes, you are, because how many people are then either going to subscribe to your service or are just tuning into your channel. You know what I mean?
But the tuning in, they make money from selling the commercial slots that people want to buy because the people are tuning in.
I know. But I guess I just mean it's once a year. And is it really, if it's going to get enough people, for example, I'm sure there are people who are downloading certain apps who don't have cable, who are, becoming people who watch, I guess CBS isn't cable, is it?
Yeah.
Okay. People who watch those kind of things. It's you might be seeking out that channel for specifically one reason. You know what I'm saying? And it's one time a year, or maybe the Emmys would agree to give part of their, those sponsorships could go to the network that's hosting it or something like that. But I just mean if time is obviously such a massive concern and such an issue, there've got to be other ways in the year 2025 that we could look at it. Do I sound crazy?
I don't know about the ad aspect of it. That seems less likely to me to work, but I do think that we don't need a 10-minute sketch at the start of the show and then still have a monologue that the host gives.
Yeah.
It's one or the other. Or you need to go right into a quick monologue. It can't be Like, that's what it normally would be like. There would be, like, a song, and then the host would, like, introduce themselves. But this, for some reason, just felt like it dragged on, and I felt like every time he was on stage, I was like, why is he still talking? And
yeah,
even some of the bits at the start of the presenting the awards, even though I enjoyed a lot of it, I don't even mean, like, the more, like, complex ones, like the Gilmore Girls or the Survivor ones, because I think those are fun. But, like, there was a little bit of banter where I was just like, you're so and also, I don't think I would have felt like things were taking too long if they weren't making such a big deal about how long speeches were.
Well,
even though,
like,
I didn't even feel like the, even the speeches that took the most money from the donation, I was like, that didn't feel that fucking long. I think we just need to go back to the playoff music that sounds like just a random string arrangement.
Yes.
Like, we just needed to go back to that. It was fine. It was fine.
I guess that's sort of, and I feel stupid now for, like, everything I just said, but I...
No, don't feel stupid.
But I just am, like, I just feel like there are ways to help the time issue that aren't that. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, 100%. And guess what? If you have to cut back on your fucking commercials for one night, then you do. Like, but, like, you got the Emmys. Like, you know what I mean? Like, maybe the Emmy starts paying to be on that network. You know what I mean? Like, or something like that. And maybe they already do. But I'm just saying, like, that's not nothing. So, I don't know. I think because the speeches should be what's prioritized. Like, quite frankly, you know, have a quick little award presentation moment and then get me to the speech and then move on. That's really what it's about. So, like, all the other little things are fun, but also... are they always fun? Like, that's the other. And I felt like he was weird after Colbert's speech. Like, I felt like he had, like, a weird reaction to Colbert. Did you feel that too?
I don't know if I really picked up on that specifically, but I might just not have been paying attention very much.
He was just like, oh, wow, Colbert is happy to not have a job anymore. And, like,
oh, yeah, I did think what he said was kind of weird.
It was like, and it was after Colbert was like, I've never loved my country so much.
Colbert,
and, like,
had the best speech of the night. Him and Tramiel had the best.
Oh, my God, Tramiel's speech.
Of the night. But what I really liked about what Colbert said is, like, he started his speech, or maybe he wasn't even a speech yet. He presented something too, but he said, he led with, is anybody hiring? And the joke was like, it seemed
and
immediately
the joke
like
was he needs a job.
Right, well, that's what it was. You were supposed to think in the first part of the joke, and then it wasn't a joke.
Like,
and he was like, because there are 200 people here that are amazing employees, and they're going to need a job in June.
Yeah.
And I just, like, that's why he is the best late night host.
Yeah.
And also, like, the complicatedness of this being on CBS and CBS having, like, fully...
I know.
They did, and him saying, like, I hope the late night tradition continues, even though he knows that CBS just canceled the entire series. Like, not just him. The whole thing is over. So, he's awesome. I love him. I had a blast watching him.
Yeah, I know. He was great. And I think it's just, like... I don't know how to talk about it. I don't know how to talk about any of it. Honestly,
it's, like, pretty bleak. Well, I also like that they didn't shy away from the PBS conversation. I think that's really important. I watched a video the other day of the first Sesame Street episode that came out after 9/11. And it's just a reminder of, like, there are kids in so many underserved areas that were being educated, and not just educated, but given, like, a friend through that television. And now it's just
gone. And it's like they're not even a thought in anyone's head who made that fucking,
like,
call.
This almost, it wasn't like it was about 9/11, but there was a fire on Sesame Street and Elma was so scared by it. And they were able to talk about how kids might be scared by what they saw or what they experienced and everything without actually talking about it. And they, like, take Elma to a fire station and show them how everything works and how they get into their suit and what each piece on their suit does, because Elmo's, like, afraid of the firemen at first. And, like, that's just a part of culture that's going to go away. And I think that, like, what's really, really frightening is we're not going to see or feel the effects of that
until
immediately.
It's
so it's, like, it's kind of going to be, like, what COVID did to kids who, like, had to do virtual learning. It's, like, we... in the moment, it felt like the right thing to do. And I mean, I'm not the person to ask on whether it was, but I do think we're already starting to see the effects on the lack of socialization and being able to learn in person.
For sure.
And like now we just have a whole generation of kids that are going into college and then like soon the workforce.
Yeah.
Who aren't properly socialized. And
no.
And we're using Quizlet to like
no get offense, guys.
Class.
No offense, y'all.
Yeah, no offense. No offense.
Phoebe just came for you, but no offense. I don't mean to offend you. I don't know about Phoebe, of course. She's a kind of a massive bitch.
I am kind of a massive bitch.
I know she thinks she's funny. She's kind of
I know I think
bitch.
I'm funny, guys. I know I think I'm funny, but I am just a bitch.
You actually come across as a massive bitch, and me too.
Yeah.
And me too.
And you too. Yeah, don't forget.
Don't
and
forget
Caroline.
And me too. But
Caroline doesn't think she's
well,
funny.
Well, actually, maybe not.
Caroline doesn't think she's funny.
No, Caroline does not think she's funny, and she's not. She's just a massive biatch.
But I'm the bitch. For sure.
You're a massive bitch, and everybody knows that. anywho, back to the Emmys for a moment. Britt Lauer absolutely loved the Severance reference with "Let Me
awesome.
Out" on her speech. That was fabulous. Like,
I
little
felt
moments
that,
like that. But
that,
there were not. Didn't you notice there were not that many like meme-worthy moments from this year's Emmys?
No, and then I do understand what you're saying, and that like the Emmys does feel like the show that it normally is that way, and they kind of need to work on that. I am like, okay, we really need to start having the conversation about like why is The Bear still being categorized as a comedy?
Well, it didn't fucking win anything.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Why is Iowa Debris going up against Jean Smart for Hacks again?
It was cool to see the Pitt win so much. Hello. Hello, Pittsburgh. Okay, it's gonna be Pittsburgh
okay,
is becoming
Pittsburgh's
the new Thailand.
Pittsburgh's on the map.
Pittsburgh's on the freaking map. You could say Pittsburgh's on the freaking map. How about the White Lotus snub though?
That's pretty crazy.
I was floored by that. Honestly,
I can't even remember who all was. I mean, they were all nominated, probably, right?
I think. I mean, I know that Walton Goggins, Sam Rockwell was nominated. I think Parker Posey was nominated. I believe maybe Leslie Bibb. Like, I actually feel like everybody was fucking nominated.
That's crazy. I mean, I do think looking back, it was a really great year of television.
Yeah, I need
loved
to watch the studio.
Me
I started
too.
To watch it and I didn't keep up with it, but I've got to watch it. I mean,
I started to
cast,
get annoyed
the premise
by how much it was winning.
Well,
and
so
then
did
I had
Seth
to remind,
Rogen.
Then I had to remind myself that I haven't watched it yet.
Then you had to remind yourself also that you're a Swiftie and we can't get annoyed at things winning too much because that is the thing. Like when it kept winning, it was like, yeah, but they're breaking records. They won the most Emmys
and
any show's ever won in their first season.
His
and
first
his
Emmy.
First, which seems like such a shock because
right.
he's
and
been
remember,
such
like,
a staple in our lives, but he's been like a movie star and it's been comedies that weren't really being like.
Yeah, I think Harrison Ford has another chance. Like I think Shrinking has another season.
Yeah.
But I was really hoping that would be the night he won an Emmy. That would be so cool. Another win that I loved was the boy from Adolescence and the dad from Adolescence. And Amy Lee Wood's reaction to the little kid's speech was so sweet. I wonder if they know each other. Me hearing two British accents. They must know each other.
So do you guys all know each other? Did you watch Adolescence?
I did. And I really enjoyed it. But what I will say. And
really
what I was
dark,
thinking,
right?
Really dark.
Okay.
But I think what I wanted from it was really good, and I was super happy with those wins.
And all filmed in one take, right?
Yeah.
So sorry, I keep being like, right?
I'm being quizzed as I talk about it.
Just making sure you watched it, because I didn't watch it.
I do wish that it was only 3 episodes. I think it could have been longer. I understand that like the whole thing was like
they
it's
filmed,
all filmed
in
one
freaking
one
take,
shot.
Phoebe. Do you know how much freaking work that is? What if you get to minute 59 of a 60-minute episode and somebody farts and sneezes at the same time
well,
and
you know
ruins
what? I don't,
everything
well, you
and the
know
camera
what?
Flies out of the frame and they're like, and we have to do the whole episode again. What about that, Phoebe? Oh my God, I wish there were more than 3 episodes. Oh, I bet you do.
I just think it was starting to tap into a really, really important subject and it didn't quite go deep enough, I think, for maybe it to like hit everyone that it maybe needs to. Like, I wish that we had explored the dad's feelings more as he realized like what he had kind of let his son isolate himself into in a way, not to blame the dad entirely, but like. Or I wish that we had also explored the communities that the son was in that kind of took him over. Like, they talk about it a little bit, but we don't really explore it. And I guess maybe it didn't need to be so upfront. I think that's probably what people would say in response to what I just said, like, the whole second episode when he's talking to the detective, it's like we're seeing how it has affected his brain and how he really believes. But I think that we could have just explored it a little more. I think it could have been more than three episodes because it's a really, really important topic.
Okay, maybe I should watch it. I feel like I shied away from it just because of the...
It's not graphic. It's dark. Just heavy.
And, you know, I got to limit my dark media, especially since we're getting into ghost tour season. I got to limit my dark media, make sure I leave room for the spirits in here.
Right.
I don't be waking up in the middle of the night screaming, things like that, of course.
Which doesn't happen.
I thought Kristen Bell looked so good. Her dress, I think, was like hers and maybe Brittany Snow. Like, I felt like their dresses were amazing. What did you think about their little, like, back and forth when they presented the award?
I was like, we're not filming.
Hey, cameras aren't rolling for the show. They're rolling for this show. They're not rolling for that show. This show that you guys were referencing. I was like, okay, wait, pause. Before you announce the winners, what's going on? What are you saying here? What's up? Like, it just felt like they slipped into those characters.
Walk me back through what she said because I want to refresh her. Do you remember?
Okay, so they walk out, like, and Brittany Snow, I noticed her walking out kind of slow. I was like, oh, she can't walk. She's like walking out a little bit slow. And then she goes, oh, okay, sorry. I took like a really long time coming out. And then I can't remember the girl's real name, but Malin goes, I've been waiting for you to come out or something. Or like, I'll keep waiting for you to come out or something like that. And it was like,
you guys aren't playing your character.
It was like weird, low key. Like, I remember it was played too real. It was played too real, and everyone was like, ah! Like she didn't. There wasn't like a, and Brittany Snow didn't have like ah ha ha ha. That's our show. Like there wasn't like a little, like it was a little bit too real.
Yeah.
I've been waiting for you to come out or something like that, and it was like the way she said it. I was like, ah! Like it really just felt exactly like Margot.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
But she looked great. What do we think of the Gilmore Girls? I mean, how amazing that Tara Llewellyn of Gilmore to Say got to be in the room for that moment.
I love that they wrote their whole little dialogue in Gilmore Gab.
I loved it too.
It took me a second to realize what they were doing and then I was like, oh, this is the show.
it took you a second to realize.
It just means you're I like, didn't realize they were
you're like they're
Gilmore
on the
Gab.
Set. It's no, the no, two no, no, characters no, no, from the
stop,
show.
Stop. No. Because when they got out there, it was like very much Alexis Bledel and Lauren Graham, and it was like they sounded like they were just doing regular announcing on the set of Gilmore Girls. And then I was like, oh, that's they're doing the thing.
Yeah. Well, honestly,
Caroline thinks I am dumb as rocks.
Whatever. You thought I was dumb as rocks at the beginning of this episode. I just do think that Alexis Bledel and Lauren Graham kind of just like are Rory and Lorelai, so that is to be expected. Like I feel like that happens a lot where you can't tell if they're in character because they're kind of like just always.
Did you see what Lauren Graham said on the red carpet?
That she would be down for a Christmas movie.
Yeah, and I love how she compared it to Downton Abbey because I would love if like every couple years we just got like a let's go back to Stars Hollow for an hour and a half.
I have to say something and it's going to get me canceled, but I don't understand this like sector of people who are so obsessed with Downton Abbey. Sorry, snooze. Sorry, boring. No, because why. Because what I just said is why. But even the people who do watch it say that. Like,
no, it's
my
not
friends.
Boring. It's not boring. It's not boring.
I'm just like, we're still.
Oh my gosh.
Those
were some of the first TV deaths that like. Oh,
I mean, I remember you and mom were
like truly like
by that
show. I can still feel it in my heart. That first death in that show.
Well, it wasn't real.
It felt real, you bitch.
It felt real. I was there. It was rare.
Guys,
you weren't
oh
there.
My gosh, there's this one season finale where one of the characters, she's just gotten with this man who she was, it's been like kind of will they, won't they. And she is giving birth to their kid. And he's driving his car to the hospital. It's giving Quinn Fabre.
Are you about
crash.
To spoil something insane? Oh my God.
And then that's the end of the season.
Low-key predictable. Okay, but if you've seen Glee, like, you kind of saw it coming.
No, you didn't. You didn't see it
Sorry,
coming,
that's
Caroline.
Funny. What I just said is funny, you bitch. If you've seen Glee, you're predicting it in Downton Abbey. That's fucking funny.
Wait, there was a Ryan Murphy joke that I thought was funny. Who said it? I mean, it was two people that had been in a Ryan Murphy television show. can't remember, but Ryan Murphy was there, and I'm just like,
Sarah Paulson, Evan Peters.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm like, how does the room feel about Ryan Murphy? Like, are they kind of weird about him?
I cannot tell at all how anybody feels about Ryan Murphy. I can't tell how they feel about his shows. I can't tell how I feel about it.
Me either.
You know, like,
but I know I'm gonna watch.
But I know I'm seated for whatever it is, at least for a couple episodes of whatever the new endeavor is.
Did you see the next one is about, well, I guess they announced it last night too, but it's about Ed Gein. Gein, I think is his last name. Kimmy.
Kimberly.
Oh, that's a different one. That's not what I'm talking about. Kardashian. No, that's a different one. The next Monsters is about the guy that inspired Psycho and Texas Chainsaw Massacre and Silence of the Lambs.
Ah ha ha! Right. Sorry, I'm practicing my Halloween laughs.
Oh.
Ah ha ha ha!
I think I know what I'm being for Halloween, but it's top secret.
What? Wait,
and
what?
It's kind of
you
it's
can tell us.
Well, no, because I think that the person is really top secret for. It's for a birthday party.
Mouth it to me. Billy.
Guys, it just got like right up to the camera and she still doesn't know. I'll show you a picture.
Okay, cool.
I'm kind of going like a Kelly route with it.
You're gonna paint your whole face and body?
Yeah.
What? Elphaba? Yep. You did that, Phoebe. Oh my god, wait, mom was like, what should dad and I be for Halloween? Ah! Okay, well, ask Kelly for tips. She'll help you. Oh,
wait, imagine I don't get a shirt to go under. I actually am just completely
you're,
naked.
You're slutty. You're the slutty version, but you're painted, so you're kind exactly. of not completely naked. Yeah, yeah. Oh my god. That's so funny. I barely know if I'm gonna celebrate Halloween this year with all the stuff I'm gonna be doing.
Well, you're just celebrating. I mean, starting soon.
Celebrating all the time. I'm just like officially such a spooky girl, and like I love that for me. I kind of have always been. One time I played a ghost in a show, and I like we would talk about what our characters' tactics were for different scenes, and like we'd be like in scene study rehearsal, and we'd be like really serious, and they'd be like, okay, so like in this moment, like Peter, what is your tactic? And Peter would be like, to persuade, or like whatever. And they'd be like, and then Caroline, like, what is your tactic? And I'd be like,
to spook.
Yes. Go to spook. And they'd be like, okay, you can't. No, what? Okay, no. And I was like,
Caroline just completely. And they go around the table, and every time it comes back to Caroline, the energy just completely shifts, and they have to like spend the next time around the table getting back the serious energy.
Every single time, I'm like, no, okay, I know I said it for the last few. But this beat really feels like it's just like to spook. Like I just feel like I'd be like spooking them for that, right?
Haunt.
To haunt, no, to spook. And then I remember like I would randomly make my Facebook status like in the middle of the night in college to spook and just like post it. I have it a few times up there. Anyway,
wow.
So that's sort of like still what I'm doing. And I love that for me. Wait. Okay, Kim Kardashian's going to be in All's Fair, which is a Ryan Murphy show.
Yeah, it's just not the one I was talking about.
Okay, okay, okay. Okay, do you have anything else to say about the Emmys? Because, like, I think we need to talk about our new Bachelorette.
No, I think everything covered. I'm just glad, guys, I've been on that Britt Lauer train since I saw that facial expression. I knew she was going to get this Emmy.
The little lip moment.
I felt it in my bones.
Slight little curl up. It's really brilliant.
And the way
you know
she
what,
made
though?
Her... The way she made her eyebrows angular.
I know. It was it was like, she's like this, and then she's like.
And it was like, so, it was like the smallest muscles in her face.
I missed it the first time I was watching. And
it was the craziest thing I've ever
seen.
I am
sad for Adam Scott, though.
I know, because I thought he did really well. And I just think it was a much
was
tougher year
I
than I had anticipated. But I mean, that episode where he's going in and out
back
of the house
back and forth on the camcorder, like
he's
I know
it so
and
good.
It's sad because he just went on Good Hang with Amy Poehler and she was like future Emmy Award winner, like she was like Emmy Award winner, sorry too soon, like I shouldn't say it. Like they like talked about it. He was like
who
no,
won
stop.
That category
like,
Seth Rogen
I think it was Seth, yeah.
Wait, does that mean Severance was a... Oh, wait, no, I think it was... let me see. Because was Severance in the comedy category?
I don't think so, though. Or did he lose to the Pit guy?
Oh, I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
Let me see. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I know.
I'm just like, okay, you have more seasons.
I know. I know. But so does Severance. And honestly, the way they left season two, it does feel like season three could be the perfect time for Adam Scott to get his Emmy, you know? But
and having the climb, episode, I think, is pretty awesome. Mean,
yeah. Yeah,
I do sure. Like when it's like, we've been like, when is he going to get it? When is
yes,
he going to get
it? Yes, and like Britt got, you know, I'm glad she got it. And honestly, I bet if you were to ask Adam Scott, he would have preferred her get it over him this mm-hmm. year, you know?
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, let's dive in to our new Bachelorette. I can believe it, but I also cannot believe Taylor Frankie Paul is going to be gracing our screens on ABC Monday nights. I've never been more seated for a Bachelorette season, maybe ever.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I mean, I guess that's true. I was going to say Hannah Brown, but we were so skeptical.
We were skeptical of her. And honestly, Hannah Brown's season and just the goldmine that it was makes me so confident in Taylor's ability to be this fabulous Bachelorette, because she really brings the same sort of messy energy. Mm-hmm. And the difference is, though, Hannah started out from this place of trying to conceal the messy and pretending that that's not who she was. She so desperately did not want, you know, she rejected those parts of her. Whereas exactly. Taylor is like putting them all out there for everybody to see. She literally has nothing to hide. Like, she is just selling exactly who she is. Now, that being said, it's kind of a shock. I mean, what a bold departure from like our original formula. Not that it's not what they needed, but I think it is definitely crazy.
Definitely, definitely what they needed. And I can't wait. I think she's going to be insane.
It's going to be crazy because the way also, think about the amount of trauma that she has, where like, I know people will have watched Secret Lives of Mormon Wives, but previously it was like, if you watched the last Bachelorette season or Bachelor season, you kind of knew what the Bachelorette was bringing to the table. You knew what her history was like.
We have no idea what her as a Bachelorette is going to look like.
I know. And we have no idea what the men are going to know about her, think about
especially
her.
Especially because they're doing a casting call specifically for her. Like, oftentimes, I mean, I'm sure they're still pulling from, like, the pool of people that have just, like, applications that circulate. But, like, typically, you might have an idea of who it's going to be next and, like, you're hoping it's going to be someone when you apply. But you don't know, and now it's kind of like when I feel like they did the same thing for Ari and Juan Pablo. Like, they did like a, like, this is our Bachelor, now apply.
Wow. Well, and it's like, I think that's really important for someone like Taylor, not just for, you know, building buzz and interest, but because she's going to require such a specific type of person. Like, she has three kids, so you're going to have to be okay with being a stepdad. If you're not, it's going to make the question of, why are you on the show? Mm-hmm. Are you here for the right reasons? It's going to make that conversation so much more intense. Exactly. So there's that aspect of it. Then the fact that she does have a domestic violence history. Mm-hmm. Like, she doesn't have, like, the squeaky clean kind of resume that most of our Bachelorettes have. And I wonder if that's going to change the way these men, like, I wonder if we're going to see some really nasty behavior from some men about some of the things in her past, mm-hmm. which would concern me considering they're doing the casting call specifically for her and we're armed with that information going in. You know what
right.
I mean?
I think it's also like, but then it could be kind of like a Claire Youssef thing where, like,
right,
he didn't really know who Claire was, but we knew, like, that's another instance. I think that they announced the Bachelorette and then had people apply.
Right.
So I think we could see people that are just nominated and they're like, sure, they don't think about it being someone that they're like, oh, it's this girl, but I don't know anything about her.
Yeah. Or if there are people who were, you know, yeah, as you said, like, let's say we had a brother who I wanted to marry to Frankie Paul and I nominated him, like, he would just end up there. Doesn't mean he's ever seen it. And then also the people that maybe already applied that have just been in the database who applied hoping it would be somebody else, you know?
I'm really excited to see how the like, right reasons conversation looks.
Know.
Because it's going to be a lot harder to accuse someone of that when she's someone of this stature. Because it's like, you guys are all probably not here for the quote-unquote right reasons.
Right, right. And the other thing about her, like, she's got two baby daddies, one of whom is extremely difficult to deal with. Like, Dakota is a fucking nightmare. So you also have to find guys who are willing to put up with that and him and the way that, like, their relationship is so volatile. You know, if you want a case study in Taylor, Frankie, Paul in a relationship, you've got two seasons you can go watch. You know, you've got endless TikToks thing, like, you can go
I
watch.
I wonder who, when they get cast, like, are they gonna...
They better not use it against her. You know what
well,
I mean?
Also, that's, are like, they going to watch it? Like, are they, like, if they haven't seen it, I wonder which men will be like, well, I'm going to go study up on her, or right. I'm going to go in and just get to know her.
And I wonder what she would prefer, you know? She also said whoever it is has to move to Utah.
I feel like I could be wrong. I could see it going either way, but there's something about her that makes me think she would want them to watch.
Yeah, I think so too. Because
I think she otherwise, is. There, that I'm is thinking, one thing like, that I like about her is, like, she's so... She is just her. She's not really a liar. She's just who she, like, she just
That's one thing about Taylor. If she says something, like, I believe it. Like,
even,
she really doesn't lie.
Crazy,
and even if it's bad about herself, like, she's, like, so okay with owning her shit.
She makes me think she will have a really tough time with dishonesty and inauthenticity, which I think we'll see a lot. Maybe not as much dishonesty, I don't know, but, like, I think there might be a lot of inauthenticity on this season because
I totally
of her
agree.
Status.
And she's so emotional and, like, she literally wears her heart on her sleeve and she just, like, lets it all hang out and lets people have it. So that's the other thing. I'm like, every episode is going to be like an emotional roller coaster with her, you know? Like, it's there's going to be never a dull moment. And
so are we thinking it'll be a January
Well,
date?
Apparently she's, like, filming it for the next 2 months, so maybe...
It's like, but there was the casting call, so I'm like, how quickly are they casting?
Oh, I guess that's a good point. So, yeah, I guess I don't want to wait that long. I am, like, injected
that's
in
why
my
I
veins.
Do,
I'm
I do
so ready.
Of hate the times that they have announced before they filmed. It's like...
I know.
Even before they've cast, it's like, what am I supposed to do? Now what, I know. Yeah. Now I'm excited.
I'm just foaming at the mouth here. Well, what you get to do instead is watch Salt Lake City and watch...
Yes.
Dancing and then watch season 3 of Mormon. That's the other thing that's crazy is that season 3 of Mormon Wives is about to come out. So we're going to get our TFP fix like any minute now, which is crazy because who knows what kind of moments are going to be in that. So, like, what if someone signs on and then sees something in season 3 and then they like,
they're like, wait, no.
And are people
going
to be bringing those moments up to her on the show? And like,
I
how
know.
Will she react?
Like, that's
to that
another really weird thing. It's like, it's not even like she's a regular celebrity where maybe these things are in the past and like, they know it from the news. They're like, I heard that this happened, but I don't know the specific details. I can't reference things that you and your partner literally said to each other.
Yeah, literally.
Whereas with this, they could be like, season 2, episode 3, you said this.
Exactly.
And like, what was
like,
that about?
When you get into a regular fight with your partner and then like it's weeks later and it comes back up or something and you pick apart the little things each other said, whatever. Imagine that now. Like, it's like, okay, well, she already had that conversation with Dakota. They already picked apart everything they said. Now she's going to have everything she said picked apart by somebody else who was not there. You know, like that I guarantee because the producers are not going to not send any messy pieces of shit in there. So like we're going to get those moments where and I feel like Taylor, she's unpredictable. She's. And those are all the things that are going to make her such a good bachelorette if your definition of bachelorette is, like, good TV
which I think some
and
people are
programmed
struggling
to
with.
Date multiple men. Let's also, like, hello. She's not going to have any problem with that. She's a swinger. Like, she's been swinging. That's how she got famous.
Another thing you're going to have to be okay with.
It's good. Yeah, well, she's not interested in doing it anymore. She said on Call Her Daddy. But, like, that's truly where she came from. Like, that's how she got famous, which is fucking crazy.
I think she's gonna do super well with this whole thing.
I think it's like built for her in that way too. Like she's not gonna have a problem juggling different relationships, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's gonna be really fascinating to watch. I am very eager to see. She said the person that she ends up with is gonna also have to be okay with being in TikToks all the time because it's her job and like she won't give them a rose if they're not.
It's fair enough.
It's just a lot of details that I don't think were there for previous bachelorettes that make it great TV, but it will be interesting to see how this goes for her. I hope it goes well for her. I don't want to see her broken again, but honestly, it could go either way. And I can't fucking wait to watch. We've had a lot of celebrity breakups recently, and it's freaking me out because these are couples that I just did not predict meeting the end of the road. Shaun White and Nina Dobrev. And Shaw. Then Casey Musgraves and Chase Stokes. I really didn't see that coming.
Kelsey Ballerini.
Oh my God. Okay, I swear, as I was saying it, I was like, this doesn't sound right. Same thing, just kidding.
No, sorry. I was sitting at...
Oh my God, did I just predict something? Oh my God, did Chase cheat on Kelsey Ballerini with Casey Musgraves? Holy shit, I just predicted something.
You just predicted something.
I just predicted something I didn't even mean to.
I was at the Steelers bar that I found. Everybody say thank God.
Wait,
with me.
Yeah, tell them about... Well, first, let's talk about this, but then, like, put a pin in it.
And I was scrolling on my phone, and I saw it. Mimi was up from the table ordering food.
You were alone.
And I
you were alone when you got the news.
I was with our friend Matt.
Okay, okay.
And I gasped. Like, I didn't... When I read it, I had a knee-jerk reaction.
No. I know, like, Phoebe. What? Me too. I literally was floored. Let's not forget, I was at the Kelsey Ballerini concert with Chloe just earlier this year in April. And she wore a Stingrays jersey, the South Carolina, the Charleston hockey team, with Stokes on the back. And he was there. And, like, there were all these videos of her, like, singing the songs to him. She talked about him and how much, like, she loves Charleston. And I'm like, what could have happened? Because also he posted for her birthday 2 days prior.
I know.
Before they publicly announced the breakup. That's what's crazy to me. Because it's like, you imagine there's a little bit of time in between the breakup and the announcement of the breakup.
And it was Kelsey's team that confirmed it. So part of me is like, did he do something so bad in those 2 days that she was like, no, the whole world can know we're broken up.
I mean, that's how I feel about Nina Dobrev as well. Although they put out a statement saying, like, they both still love each other. But what their friend said was very telling. I'm going to read this little, like, statement that was in an article about it. Because I'm like, there is so much more here. And we are going to get it. I just know it. But I feel like Nina Dobrev is in this moment where she's like, just fuck everything. She's coming out about the pay discrepancy on Vampire Diary. She's ending her engagement. Like, fuck it all. So the insider said neither one was to blame for what the relationship amounted to at this point. Yes, there was love there. They had an incredible time with each other. But since they weren't nurturing what they had and growing it into something more, the most logical thing to do was to break up before they ended up hating each other or entering into a loveless marriage. They were smart enough to get out now while they're still young and while they can still move on from each other without any baggage. So it sounds like this was a long time coming and maybe it was like a terrible fucking relationship. Like,
I wonder if like the people in their life were like
couldn't wait for this
when they got engaged.
I know.
They were like,
well, and didn't they get engaged in 2020? Like, they've been engaged for
I
a long
feel
time.
Like, they like just got engaged.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they've just been together since 2020.
They've been together for a long time, but I feel like we just saw those pictures of them in the little like ski chateau.
I know.
Where they got engaged.
He just went to Beijing, and it's like classic. That is so classic, man. End your engagement, go to Beijing.
That is so going
to trip.
That's so classic, Sean.
So classic, Sean. But like, they were talking about how they wanted different things, apparently. Like, he's done with the Olympics now, and she, like, was wanting kids, but now she wants to focus on acting. It's like, you guys are both in the... I don't know. I think something had to have happened there.
Wait, was it, like, February
they
got engaged?
They got engaged? No fucking way. What year? No way. This February?
I'm trying to see what her hand looks like in these.
It's been a fucking lifetime since then.
Okay. October 30th, 2024.
Okay. So not even a year.
So like a year.
But they've been together for 5 years.
A long, long time.
I think these are just two couples. We just did not see this fucking coming. Who's next? Selena and Benny?
No.
Just kidding.
One of my favorite moments of the Emmys last night, it was like a little like clip of just the celebrities, was Selena looking over Steve Martin's lap at Martin Short's phone. And I love the concept that you can... His font is so big that she had
no
doubt.
She could read it from like two
seats
over.
She could read exactly. And she looked at Benny and she goes.
She does her little frown.
He's texting Meryl.
And it was just like so cute. But that is so silly. Sel, you have got to cover your fucking mouth. You do this all the time.
But also you see the smile on his face. He's
no,
like looking at his phone.
He's like
hunched
full over,
grin.
Like giddy fucking like texting Meryl Streep. Like, I'm sorry. Honestly, that little section of the Emmys looked like the place to fucking be. We had Cate Blanchett, and there was someone else who was next to her. It wasn't Jason Segel, was it? I don't know. They were sitting in front of Selena and all of them, and a photographer was trying to take a picture of Selena, Benny, Steve, and Martin. And Kate Blanchett's like, they're like bending down in front of them so that they can get the picture without them in it. And like the concept of celebrities, of someone so poised as Kate Blanchett doing that, bending down so she's not in your picture, is like, I just love, celebs are just like us.
Also the concept of celebrities being like, hey, can you get a picture of us? Which, guys, is one of my favorite, is one of my favorite human experiences, is when someone asks you to take a picture for them.
Really?
That to me, oh my goodness.
Well, they sized you up.
Chills. I love it.
You know what I mean?
I love when, well, I just also, I even just love offering. I love when, and then they get so excited when they're like, yeah, that would be awesome.
Yeah. No, that is actually.
Pose and like orient themselves around like where they want to be in the picture.
Yeah.
Yesterday at the Steelers bar, someone came up and asked if I would take a picture of like, he was the only person in Steelers gear with like an entire family of people. And I'm like,
wait,
he asked them to come here.
Cute. Stop it now. No, no, no. Or worse, they invited him to come and it was just like a casual hangout. And he was like, oh, we're watching the game. And he came like fully decked out and they weren't. No, if someone's asking you to take a picture for them, it's honestly such a massive compliment because it's like they looked at, they were like scanning the room. Okay, I need to capture this freaking moment. You know, that's what they're thinking inside. And they look around, they're like, oh, these people are all going to take shaky pictures. This person's going to take a selfie instead. This person's going to be a total fucking bitch about it. You know, whatever. And then they see the beacon of hope, of light in the room, in the bar, across the bar. It's you. It's Phoebe Connell in a Steelers cap. And a cap. They're like,
in my sweatshirt in 90 degree weather.
Of course. They're like, okay, she's resilient. Okay, she's not afraid to be a little uncomfortable for fashion.
Pittsburgh is a state of mind.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, she gets it. She knows why we're here. She understands the mission. Like, that's what they're thinking. And they come over and they're like, I just know, number one, she has kindness in her eyes. She's going to look at me and say, I would love to take this picture. I would love to help you capture this moment, this memory. For years to come, you'll look at this photo and you'll remember me. The girl you met in the Steelers bar, wearing the Steelers cap, the only worthy photographer in the room. But it's also like, because it's not just about, is there someone nearby? I will wait for the right person to pass to ask them to take a picture of me and my friends if I'm going to do so. You know
it's
what I mean?
It's also like, it's the one thing that comes from technology, I feel like, that still is like a shared thing of humanity that you
That's
can like, do in person.
That's honestly a great point.
It's like, a sign of neighborliness to be
the selfie
to, like,
stick tried to abolish it, failed.
No,
nice try.
Those
selfie
pictures,
stick.
It's like that's with the selfie stick.
Yeah, absolutely. I can see the selfie stick in your picture. The selfie stick was such a moment in time, but
it
honestly,
really
was a great invention,
especially for like if you were like, because even it could do things that even the human hand could not,
and that's just hard to believe. It's hard to believe there is anything that could do things the human hand cannot, but the selfie stick could.
Like, if you're at the Grand Canyon, it's like someone can't get up that much higher than you to take a picture of you with the expanse.
Someone's not going to lean so far over that they tumble and fall into the Grand Canyon for the pic.
But with the selfie
Even though
stick,
maybe
you
they
can
should.
Get the whole back. Or, like, if you're at, like, the Hoover Dam, it could get, like, all the Hoover Dam.
I love that Phoebe's, like, just, like, naming, like, monuments, like, wonders of the world, where she's like, this would be a great place to use a selfie stick. You guys should be adding them to your merch shop. Say Hoover Dam. Call me.
The Tower
I have
of Pisa.
A guy. The Eiffel Tower, even.
Yeah.
I think
Big
it
ben.
Would be good. I mean, oh, for sure, Big Ben. Oh, for sure, Big Ben.
The pyramids.
Maybe even Stonehenge.
Well,
I mean, it's so wide, Faith. There's so much.
Exactly. That's what I mean. I don't
you
know
don't think a selfie stick
I think,
would help
I think
you get all the little things in there?
You'd have to be far away.
I think, okay, pair a selfie stick with 0.5 mode.
Oh, unstoppable.
Okay, unstoppable.
okay, in the
hello
middle of
the future.
Stonehenge.
Hello, 2025.
Maybe the Easter Island men.
You know what? That's like low-key what I meant when I said that, when I said Stonehenge. And I'm going to admit that bravely on the pod right now. Look, they're both
those
made of stone.
Those things, and then also the terracotta army.
It's
those
like,
things
come
really
from?
Give me the heebie-jeebies.
Yeah, well, you.
Oh,
I feel like
I really
you don't
like
things
like
that are fully submerged. Because the terracotta army is underwater, right?
I don't know if it's underwater anymore.
There is a whole like army.
No, and
underwater.
I don't like it. It's actually making my feet tingle thinking about it.
Submerged in water. You're nowhere
like,
near
thinking
it.
Thinking about like Atlantis. If that's real.
By the way, hey Billy's. Hey Billy's Club, Billionaire's Club. What are we doing going back down to the Titanic? I just feel like we learned our lesson.
It's like if Icarus got to redo his life
and was freaking close to the sun.
And was told the story of Icarus. After he's already lived it, now he's also being told the story of Icarus. And he's like,
and that's what we call a cautionary tale.
But I just think I'm the one who could get close to the sun. I just think I'm the one who could do it. So
you're
I won't use
that?
Wax this time. No, oh. I'm, this is me as Icarus being the billionaire that are going back to the Titanic.
It's like
Icarus is like, oh, I just won't use wax this time. Mm-hmm. I'll use honey or something. Mm. I don't know. I was trying to think of something
probably
that
also
melts.
Wouldn't be good, yeah.
That's what I mean. Like, oh, I'm sure they're not going to use something that's much.
They're like, okay, we're not going to use a GameCube controller. We're going to use a Switch controller.
We're
going to
use a Switch.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Oh, my God. They're like, if Miss Frizzle could do it, we can do it. That she was a woman.
Just reminded me in 2 weeks' time, I will be the proud owner of a Nintendo Switch.
Oh, my God. I'm excited for you. Where are you getting it? Just kidding, you guys. I'm getting
I was about to say your street address. I was about to say your home address.
Wow. Okay. Okay. That reminds me. You brought up my street address, and now I have to confess something that I honestly wish I didn't even remember happened to me today, but it did. So I've talked to you about the 12-foot skeleton, right?
Yeah.
Have I talked to everyone
multiple
here
times
about it?
Yeah.
Okay, so they know my plan with it, that I was going to paint it like rose gold, and like I found one on eBay for $50. And it like got delayed. It was supposed to be here Friday, so like I waited with bated breath all weekend. It was delivered today, and I got the notification it was delivered, and I go on the porch, and I'm like, I don't see it. Because like I do see one box from Amazon, but I'm like, that's not it. And the box is, like, small, and I bring it in, and it's addressed to me. But I'm like, I didn't order anything from Amazon. I don't know who this came from. And I open it. It appears I just don't know who I'm blaming for it yet.
You ordered a 12-inch skeleton.
No. Because I was like, no. It said 12-foot. Like, I got duped. It was the lighting kit for the 12-foot skeleton that you put up inside its fucking rib cage.
Oh, so you didn't order a skeleton at all.
I spent $50 on a fucking lighting kit for a skeleton I don't have. And I don't know who I'm blaming yet. But let's all remember, when and where did I order it? On drugs in the hospital because of kidney stones. I am suing Big Kidney Stone. They did this to me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Can you fucking believe that? Whose fault do you think it is?
I have an idea, but I don't think this is a safe space to say it yet.
You're damn right. You are darn tootin'. You were darn tootin'. Yeah, so that was a kind of like a bummer thing that happened the last day. Super fun. Anyway, back to the breakups. I am like super stunned, and I do feel like the Kelsey Ballerini one, knowing her, she's going to tell us exactly what happened.
Yeah, she's an open book.
One of the things I love about her, we're not going to have any questions. And just a little bit, we need to be a little bit patient, but not that patient, because she'll probably start working quick. But
actually,
I'm like,
here's what if he cheated
with Madeline Klein?
Here's my okay, then that will negate
Outer Banks
my prediction.
Is over, so.
But I think my prediction is in like 2 to 4 business days, Kelsey Ballerini posts a picture of her out to dinner with Madeline Klein.
Oh my God! If she has learned anything from Taylor Swift, that is exactly what she will do.
She gets like it's like a pap walk. Like they're walking out of dinner together.
Yes, it's a pap walk or
it's
Madeline
giving Sophie
Klein,
Turner and Taylor Swift,
or Madeline Klein is posting a picture of Kelsey Ballerini on her story, not a grid post.
Yeah.
It's one of those. Oh, it's one of those.
That's brilliant.
Hey, you guys, and you can take it and you don't have to credit us because we just want to see what happens next. I just can't believe I'm like. If they could survive Chase Stokes being in Outer Banks with former flame Madeline Klein, what can't they survive?
I know. I don't understand.
The songs about each other, like, ugh. It's painful.
It's really sad. Well,
I'm
speaking
really
of
sad.
New couples, Zoe Who? And Harry.
Who?
I'm loving it.
Oh, Zoe Kravitz and Harry Styles.
And also, let's just, like,
no,
I saw a TikTok.
Right.
I just saw a TikTok. Discussing the kind of universe that we have going on for a potential wedding invite.
okay.
So Gracie Abrams will absolutely be invited
to the
wedding, which means that Paul Mescal will probably be her plus one.
Okay.
Phoebe Bridgers will also probably be invited with her plus one, Bo Burnham.
Okay.
And then Zoe Kravitz, best friends with Taylor Swift, is her plus one
Harry
Styles.
She might be in the party if there's a party.
Lena Dunham, best friends with Taylor Swift, Jack Antonoff, best friends with Taylor Swift.
Well, Jack Antonoff and Margaret Qualley, were they at Charlie's wedding?
I don't know.
I saw someone say that they
maybe
were.
Jack did work on the 1975's last album.
Which I was a little
but
bit
that
relieved
was
to
before
see the new
all
wedding,
of this
I was
stuff.
Like, okay, because I thought something
but
was
I am like, I like what you said on the story of like, because she does surprisingly seem to care about our wedding a lot.
Yeah, she really does. So I was just like, I'm sorry. It's if I'm Charlie, the way that I know Charlie to be about our wedding for some fucking shocking reason, I love it for her, but it is like hilarious.
And is this number three?
No, I think it's the second one. But I'm
but
like,
didn't they get married in Iceland?
Oh, they had to tie the knot in their home base. And like
last year, there was something about
whatever.
Them having a ceremony in Iceland.
Oh, maybe they did. I don't know. But yeah, she. Like, I mean, look at. I think about it all the time. Look at the way she talks about George. She is someone who, like, against all odds, like, cares about that part. Like,
and I also
partnership
just think it's so cute.
Family.
Like, she was such a fan of the 1975 before she and George started dating. And like,
I love their love. Honestly, I like really. I just like see them withstanding the test of time. I see them going to the very end. Dying within days of each other when they're like 90 years
they're
old of
kind
lung
of
cancer.
Giving
you know
like,
what I
in
mean
in their own special way our generations Aussie and Sharon.
Yeah, I am so with you there, and I feel like we could get pushback for it, but hey, I don't care, I'm with you on it. No, I'm so with you.
I just think aesthetically like they are kind of like those are two people that maybe you wouldn't have expected to have had such an unwavering like passionate love story
totally.
And they did, and, like, it's such a beautiful
it's like
thing.
Morticia and Gomez.
Yeah, you know, where it's
like,
kind
no
of what
way.
This vibe is. Like,
you guys hate everything
Charlie
about the world, but you are obsessed with each other. That's what everyone wants.
So no one get mad at me for saying that.
No, I'm
obsessed with both couples, so it's a compliment to both.
No, I'm totally with you on that. And But that is what I thought, because when I saw at the first wedding that all of the band members of the 1975 are there except for Maddie, I was like, this feels like a snub. And then I was aware it was the I Know What You Did Last Summer premiere, and I know that that was Gabrielle, like, she's getting an acting. But in my mind, if I'm Charlie, it's not a good enough reason to miss my wedding.
Yeah, it still felt weird.
Especially if I'm having a super small wedding, or, like, Maddie should be there or something. Like, it's not like she was the lead of I Know What You... I mean, I don't know if that's me being, like, so shitty.
No,
but
I
makes
so
much more sense.
When we talked about it, I felt pretty much the same way.
Yeah.
But I figured they also...
Case closed.
Yeah, that's what I think. They were at this... It was fine. They were at the last one, so
yeah.
It seems like all is well.
I'm like, keep doing it. Keep having more weddings. I love the content.
I know.
I love it. Okay, so back to the Taylor invite list.
Oh, I think I covered it. Let me see what else was on that little list that I sent.
Well,
you know.
I'm dying to know what's going to happen with Blake. I mean, I really, because it is so up in the air where their friendship stands to me. Like, I know there are a lot of people, pop apologists, who are like such firm believers that Blake and Taylor are absolutely severed now. I'm just not buying that. I'm just not buying it, because if we know one thing about Taylor, she'll make something clear if she wants to. Now, obviously, she'll make things continue to be muddy if she wants them to be muddy as well. But, like, if she wanted us to know because she thought it was bad for her image, for people
we
to associate
know.
Her with Blake, Tree would have done, they would have had some, like, masterminded thing that just would have let us know that she, like Taylor would have gone out to dinner with Justin Baldoni or some shit. You know what I mean? Like, there would have been something that would have let us know she's not Team Blake. And we haven't gotten that. And I just feel like she's trying to stay the fuck out of it. I feel like if my friends, I'd be like, stay the fuck away from this if you can. And the fact that Friedman just went out and was like, Taylor's being deposed. Yep, she agreed. She's in, and made it seem like she was like Team Wayfarer, and that's why she was going to do it. And then we find out from Taylor's lawyers that she did actually not agree to be deposed. She said, I don't want to be deposed, but if there's absolutely no way around it, if I absolutely have to be, this is a week that could maybe potentially work. But like the fact that they put out a letter saying, hey, that's not true and don't tell people that is crazy to me, and tells me that she's not.
He just wanted another headline to get it back in the news cycle because people stopped talking about it.
Yeah, honestly. I mean, I'm sorry. Blake and Taylor are no strangers to a headline. They're no strangers to a media circus. So in my opinion, I'm just like, this isn't enough of a reason for them not to be friends anymore. Because it's not like Taylor was subpoenaed. Unless Blake 100% made up everything and invoked Taylor's name, which it doesn't appear that, like, I don't feel like she used Taylor from what I've read and what I've read are the fucking court documents. Like, I'm not getting that vibe. And as the days go on, like, I feel like the Blake side maybe isn't fanning the flames quite as much, because we're not seeing that, okay, Jenny Slate's now being named in all of these, like, Isabella Fett. We're not seeing all of those things come out unless you're in the Reddit groups. But we're seeing every fucking headline from the Wayfarer side. It's just interesting. But we know it's Freeman absurd. Loves a media circus.
I'm ready for it to all just be put to bed. That's what
Speaking
I'm
of a media circus, the Amanda Knox show. I really can't implore you to watch it enough.
I keep forgetting about it.
Here's the thing about it, though. It's a really good show to watch in the following settings. One, when you're eating, because you're not really on your phone. So you have to, because you have to. It's a lot of reading. Like, it's almost all in Italian. But it's really a useful device. I think it really is expertly done, because it makes you feel like you're fucking. I mean, you can imagine how easily this happened to Amanda in this way, because you're like, you're as, you know, discombobulated as she probably was. And you also start to, like, she starts to get better and better at Italian as the episodes go on. So some of the episodes she'll just slip in and out of Italian
really a
and English.
It's really a lesson in fluency.
And that's what it really is. That's what the Amanda Knox story really is. but she'll start to slip in and out, and the subtitles will come in and out. And it's just, it's showing really nicely the journey of her going from someone who basically didn't fucking speak Italian enough to be living in Italy, and certainly not to be giving testimony, to be signing statements, to be interrogated without a lawyer, like without an interpreter, like things like that. And then the longer she's there and the more she's subjected to this, how it starts to become the way she speaks. And there's a moment where she's speaking to her mom in jail, and she's like, oh, sorry, like, she can't think of the word in English. She's like, oh my God, I have not spoken in English in so long. Like,
that's crazy.
And so, like, she's even starting to, like, think in Italian, because she doesn't have anybody to speak English with. Like,
wow.
And so you kind of start seeing that. I'm now at the point where her family is there, so we are getting a lot more English.
Is she fluent in Italian now? Like,
oh,
today,
I would imagine, yes. I mean, yeah. And the show begins with her as an adult with a child. Like, so the trial is long over, going back to Italy to meet with the prosecutor. And, like, she's speaking full Italian. But I mean, yeah, it's the device, although it can be frustrating, and it's like, I watch it, honestly, I feel like in bite-sized pieces sometimes, but you do start to forget that you're watching it in a different language and that you're reading. And but it also makes me feel like I could learn Italian, because it is so similar to Spanish.
Well, the romance languages, of course.
I know, but there's so many words that I keep being like, I could maybe fumble my way through. I do want to learn Italian, because I might be going to Italy, like, kind of a lot in the next few years. Just saying.
I know.
So I do kind of want to learn it. Wouldn't that be sick
if
I learned Italian?
Well, then you would love it.
I know. Anthony's parents have been doing Italian lessons with her. I know. So
you all
cute.
Should do that.
I know. I just, dude, I have no fucking time. I am so busy right now and so stressed out about it, But it's okay, because we're about to get into the most fun season of all. Ghost Tours are starting Friday. Guys, I really want you to come to these, okay? A lot of you are coming, but October 4th is a day that I know some of you guys are coming, and we're going to be getting drinks at the bar that we start and end at the Ghost Tour afterwards. So if you want to, like, it's not only a Ghost Tour with us. You get to, like, hang out, and we get to hang out with you, which is really more for us than you probably. So just, we would love to see you there. And Anthony and Kelly will be there, of course. Anywho.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Should we talk about Big Brother for a sec?
Guys, I am so fucking tired of this show. I don't even
really
want to watch. I am so unmotivated to watch this show now.
What I keep realizing, I feel like in previous seasons, I would always be like, here's what I would do if I was so-and-so. And I haven't been having those thoughts this season. And I was like, oh my God, am I losing it? Am I losing my touch, my gameplay? No, I'm realizing what it is I'm not fucking rooting for anybody anymore. And I didn't need to scheme when Rachel was in the house, because she was 10 steps ahead of me.
I also didn't realize how much I was rooting for Rachel and how much I was invested in those storylines. Like, we're never going to, like, I think CBS really miscalculated what that story, like, what fully realizing the story between Keanu and Rachel would have
looked like. Oh my God.
Like, seeing them go back and forth, and kind of like it's very much like Luke Skywalker, Darth Vader, kind of where it's like I don't know anything about Star Wars. I don't know why that was.
Me neither. But I'm with you. I'm like, what, I'm walking on this path
just,
with you.
I mean, like, it's like there's kind of like this. They see each other as the bad guy. But then they also like want to learn. Like Keanu wants to learn from Rachel so badly.
Yeah.
But he also like wants to beat her and all this. Like, I just think it was a much more compelling storyline than anything that is going on now.
I know. I mean, it's really a shame that the most compelling storyline is the almost cheap mance, the will they, won't they with Morgan and Vince.
And it's like, at this point, yeah, they're going to. At this point, yeah, they're going to.
Well, except for, like, a lot of people seem to think that Morgan just does not see Vince that way at all. And that she's, like, just doing this to sort of
that's crazy. Well, hey, sorry, that's crazy.
It's crazy. In that case, though, I'm like, do I stand? Just kidding. But it is, like, do you think that Vince thinks he and Kelsey? I mean, I would be spiraling. He said on live feeds last night, he was like, I am not looking forward to this being over at all. Like, I just don't ever want this to be over. I don't ever want this to end. No one ever says that at this point in the Big Brother house. They all can't fucking wait to get away from each other and out of that place.
And it's also, like, imagine a normal person. The pit in your stomach that you'd have if you got your HOH stuff. And none of your girlfriend's things were there.
And it has been in there at, like, the previous HOHs that you've won. No, it's crazy. I wonder if he'll, he won't vote. I was going to say, I wonder if on eviction night he'll shout her out this week, but he won't be voting.
Morgan does.
Oh, Morgan said, Kelsey, I cannot wait to meet you. The other thing is, I think Kelsey pulled her release every time they start talking about her live feeds cut. Crazy.
I don't blame her.
I don't blame. Keep my name out of your fucking mouth. Absolutely.
Especially,
like, can you
when
imagine
just, like,
a 7-year relationship throwing it to the wolves like this? Here's, and someone, like, really worded it perfectly, I thought, on Twitter. They said, if Kelsey was there, would you be doing any of the shit that you are doing? Because I just don't think you would. Maybe this is the kind of person you are. Maybe, I don't know. But I don't like that Morgan is getting so much more of the smoke. Vince is the one with the girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. Like, and Vince is constantly... Only Vince knows his relationship with Kelsey. Yeah. So when he explains it to Morgan, he's like, no, like, she wouldn't mind this. Like, she's too super chill. Like, she knows, she would know that this is platonic. She would know this. She would know this. And it's like, but Morgan can only go off of his word.
Right.
So, and also, she's probably scared of, like, his bitch boy retaliation that could come if she's like, I don't want to do this.
Boy. I know.
I don't
want to
be touching you all the time.
No, I completely agree. I mean, him begging her to get in the bed with him. Like, are you? If I were Kelsey watching that, I would be like, all my shit's already out of your apartment. Like, you will never see me again. You know what I mean? Like, I would break
it's,
you in
it's
such
so
a major
rude.
Way.
It's so inconsiderate.
I know.
And, like, I just know she probably feels so embarrassed, and I wish she didn't feel that way. But it's just like.
Imagine
it
how much she was, like, excited for him to go on the show. They probably watched the show together for years. I know. Like, well, that too. But, I mean, just even in their relationship. I mean, you've been together for 7 years. And it's like, you just imagine you're so strong. Like, nothing could. But it also makes me think, like, okay, well, how many moments were there in your 7-year relationship? Because this is obviously who Vince is, you know? Like, if it's this easy for him to just... out of sight, out of mind, his 7-year relationship, even though it's not out of mind because he keeps referencing her. That's what makes it even more sick, in my opinion. You know, it's not like you forgot she fucking existed. You remember her. You frequently invoke her name. Like, stop.
Right. Exactly. It's crazy. And I'm just, but yeah, as for the season, like, I can't fucking stand Ava. I hope that the final two is Ashley and Keanu. Like, that's really all I care about.
Yeah. I think I would like that too. I can't believe how quickly Ava fell from grace.
And she keeps bringing America. Did you see what she said by the pool the other day? She said, I was like a shoe-in for America's favorite player until that bitch Rachel stole
it. She said, I was counting on it. You shouldn't be going on Big Brother counting on anything. Like,
and also,
what?
Hey, Ava, that's your fault.
Yeah, you'd have to be our favorite player to win America's favorite player.
Also, the fact that Rachel left.
Oh, well, yeah.
That, like,
you threw
she could have won.
Psychotic fit after she grabbed your arm for whatever
Which
reason.
Which I love what, like, Taylor Hale said, and she was like, that's fucking Big Brother. You grab people, you pull people, you do what you need to do. It's the game.
No, and also there was a moment where later on they showed, like, a video of Ava. Like, someone walked by Ava and, like, tapped her shoulder, like a little love tap. And they were like, Ava just was physically assaulted by because, like, that's probably how Ava probably started fucking crying. Like,
dude,
I'm sorry,
and then
your little
funky
hat isn't enough to get
you AFP
if
you're
a bitch.
You pick your pick these things so that your allies end up going home. Like, why did you pick Vince? You have no reason to pick Vince in that challenge. absurd. And then there was on the feed, she put on this shirt that was like tight and low cut, and she goes, if this shirt doesn't win me America's Favorite Player, I don't know what will.
Stop talking about it. Are you insane?
I know what is not gonna win you that is fucking attitude.
Yeah, and then you can, do you know you're being filmed? Stop talking about it, you fucking weirdo.
She's so weird.
I can't
right.
At all.
Hey guys, I was right.
You were, honestly, you were right. You loved her for a second there, but okay, fine, I'll give it to you. You were right.
And that's just what happens when you're standing under the light of Rachel Riley.
I guess so. I guess that is what happens. What do you think about the new AirPods quickly? I like can't believe I'm going to have to get them.
Yeah, I think I'll have to get them too.
But what if, imagine this, they're just, you get hacked in your AirPods and they start just like tricking you. Making you think people are talking shit.
But I do. Just like, I haven't had my AirPods are very, very old. So I don't know if this is just because they're an old pair, but like, I am an over the ear headphone kind of girl forever.
They hurt my ears, the ones that go inside them.
I left my headphones at home the other day when I went to the gym and I didn't realize until it was like, I'm not turning around for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I had my AirPods in the glove compartment. So I was like, I'll just hopefully use these. But then it's like, it's not loud enough.
No, I know. That's the other thing. I know.
And then also,
if my phone's not alerting me that it's too loud, it's not loud enough.
And then it's like they're falling out of my ears. I have to keep adjusting them. I have to put them in a weird position so I can fucking hear anything.
Yeah.
And that's probably because they're old. But I just mean like the falling out of the ears, I can't with. I don't know how people wear AirPods to the gym.
I hate it too. Well, did I ever give an update on my loops that I ordered?
No.
I don't know if I did. Did I tell you that I ordered them?
I think so. Aren't they for like those things that Alex Earl used?
Yeah. So like they're great if you have like misophonia or ADHD and you have trouble filtering out external, you know, sensory moments, especially sounds like chewing, breathing. If you're like at a concert and you just want like a different kind of vibe, whatever. I ordered the ones that have like three different settings in them, but there's no like electronics. There's nothing. It's all just like. So it's not, you're not putting anything electronic in your ear. And it came with three different sizes for them, which was nice. And I got them like a green. And I wore them to the movies. And I sat next to Anthony. And we both had popcorn. And I was fine. Phoebe, I know. Yeah, I think you need to get a pair. I literally messaged Loops. And I was like, hey, please can we work together? Because I genuinely would love to peddle your product. And I think that's why I didn't give an update yet. Because I like wanted that to happen. No free promo, but here I'm doing it. So they make different kinds.
Oh my gosh.
I did have mine set down to the lowest one. So like technically it's quiet mode, but like I could still hear the movie totally fine. Like you get used to like any muffling like within a second. But you also don't hear the other noises from other people in the theater. You also don't hear they're in ear. But they come with different sizes and they're comfortable. You don't even like feel them. And they have a little carrying case that goes in your purse like this big. And they have a bunch of different kinds. They have them
for sleep,
too.
Could you get sleep in them?
You could. These ones aren't. They make them for sleep, but I think they're, like, shaped a little different. But they go, like, in, like, obviously the earbud part goes in your ear. But then it's, like, a little circle that fits just inside. So it's nothing's, like, outside of your ear. A lot of people think they just look like jewelry.
That is incredible.
And you can get them on Amazon. And I haven't yet worn them, but I'm going to be bringing them to Thanksgiving. Like
that's what I'm saying. I think
I'm just like any sort of table. I haven't really, I put them on actually at that restaurant I was talking about on the Patreon yesterday. I put them on because Anthony's chewing chips was driving me nuts. So I put them on and it helped a little bit, but I could still kind of hear it. But like still it's a massive.
We're going to get shit if we wear these to Thanksgiving. They're going to be like, oh,
wear your fucking
God.
Hair down. Wear your hair down.
I'm just because we're going to talk about it. They're going to hear this. But
oh,
I can
well,
hear.
No,
I can
not.
Hear mom
who,
now.
Who listens? Who listens to our podcast from our family?
Mom, sometimes.
Well, Leany does and Liz.
Liany.
Hey, guys. Mom is behind. And I don't know if Liany's still listening for some reason. But sorry, Liany, if you are. Don't get mad at me. But they are awesome. And I'm sorry. But how about this? People can give a shit for it. But would you rather me, like, do something to help myself that affects you 0%?
Exactly.
Or me sit here and get so upset I start crying? Because, like, dad just will not chew with his mouth shut. You know what
I
mean?
It's going to lower the temperature of the entire holiday.
It's just going to make me so much better to be around. And, like,
yeah.
And then, and mom's already scared to chew in front of us. Like, why? Well, I honestly think mom at this point in her life, I think she'd be like, goo, I'm so glad you found something that helps. Like, I honestly think that might be how she reacts to
it. Mom always kills me when she's like, if you can't beat him, join him. You don't understand my plight then, number one.
Sometimes
number two,
that will help if it's, if I time my chewing exactly with yours.
Yeah, but now I'm like already annoyed. It makes me like, there will be times where I'm not even, I don't move, I don't say anything, I don't reference her chewing at all, and she'll
and
be like, sorry.
Comments on it. No, I know. Sorry, that's what I'm saying. Like, sorry, if they know we're wearing the headphones, they don't have to do all that. It's like, hey, I already did the thing I needed to do, and I didn't require anything of you.
Yeah. So just, yeah, I think I might be.
You should just get them. I got the ones that were, like, I think the most expensive, and I think they were, like, $50, and they were, like, the most expensive ones. Like, you can get them for, like, I think the, like, sleep ones were, like, $18 or something. Like, you can get them for, because there's no electronics.
I'm getting both.
Like, yeah, no, it's worth it. And if anyone else, like, Phoebe and I just both really struggle with it. And I don't want to, like, I don't want to be, like, stressed out about sitting down to dinner with everybody and then, like, being, like, stressed out about whatever. And I'm honestly, I'm going to start wearing them and people, I don't want people to know. Like, I'm going to go places where, like, if I know that I'm going to be in an environment where, like, it's going to, I will just put them in before I go there. Nobody has to know. You can, they have them for social settings, too, where, like, you can still hear yourself talking, like, and everything. You just might not hear, like, it filters out some of the noise. It just, like, closes the hole in your ear a little bit, like, blocks it out.
Gorgeous.
Yeah, yeah. I can't believe I literally was saving my plug for that because I was, like, really wanting us to work together, but I already bought them and I already used them and I already like them. So why hide it? Why not share it with you who I know could also benefit? Yeah, loops. I'll put them on my Amazon. I do have an Amazon storefront. I just never use it, but I'll put them on there.
Oh, you can get them on Amazon?
Yeah, I got them on Amazon 2 days. Yeah, so I put them on my Amazon thing, and it's in our link on Instagram, so you can all go check it out if you want. I feel like there was something else I was going to say. I'm feeling a little bit overwhelmed by the amount of media that's coming out that I need to consume.
Me too.
Let's talk through it. So we've got Real Housewives of Salt Lake. Tomorrow. I'm not overwhelmed by that at all.
No, I'm excited.
I'm only excited, but I'm not going to be watching it live. So, like, if you and Amber are texting in Situation
Me either,
Room,
I don't
just,
think.
Okay.
I think I have stuff to do, but I'll probably watch it Wednesday if I don't watch it.
Then,
tomorrow.
I think I am going to be watching Dancing with the Stars at least until my favorites are off, because I do just it's just a fun show to have on.
Yeah, maybe, but I have
You've
trivia
never
Mondays,
been,
so
never
I probably
been
won't
oh,
be
yeah,
watching
true.
It. And if I'm not at trivia, I'll probably just have football on.
Okay, so I'll fill us in on Dancing with the Stars then.
But I'll keep up on socials and stuff.
Okay. Love Island Games.
Yeah, I'll be watching that.
Oh my God, I can't fucking wait. God, how much do you just wish we had feeds for Love Island? Do you know what the cadence is for Love Island Games? I know it's not the same.
No, I've never watched it.
I haven't either. God, look at what the power of a strong female
Ariana
lead can
Mattis.
Do. Fuck and
you,
it's,
Tom
and
Sandoval.
It's happening at Bachelorette too. Look at that.
You know that Tom Sandoval in his life takes credit for all of it.
Oh, 100%. Just like Nick Vile takes credit for Taylor Frankie Paul.
That was crazy.
I know.
And it was like, Nick, how obvious are you trying to make it that you were so frustrated that Alex Cooper got it?
I did hate listen to that part of the podcast where they talked about it. And they're like, someone was like, everyone's like, Nick, like, you have an inside source. Like, Nick, whatever. Like, you leaked it before. Like, no, dude, they got the idea from me. Like, and they did the right thing. Like, I had that idea. Like, hello, I know.
And they
know
did the
I'm
right
doing.
Thing.
Yeah, like he was just so annoying with it. Ooh. But anywho, okay, so we've got Love Island Games, and then we've got Secret Lives of Mormon Wives season 3 will be coming out, which if you weren't already going to be seated for, I imagine now with the Bachelorette announcement, we will all be seated for this. So I'm excited. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Life of a Showgirl, not something I'm like nervous about, but just something else that we're going to be getting.
I'm more overwhelmed by the movies than the TV.
Are you going to be seeing The Housemaid in December?
Housemaid.
Have you seen this? It's got, sorry to say her name, Sydney Sweeney, Amanda Seyfried, and the guy Brandon Sklenar from It Ends With Us.
Oh, whoa. Is it based
Did
on
you
that
ever
book?
Read the book? Yes. No. Okay. This is so funny, and this is going to sell you on the book in such a major way, and I just know it. Okay. Kelly. We joined a book group in the beginning of the year. I've kind of fallen off, but Kelly, proud of her. She's really stuck with it.
Wow.
And she, the first book that we read, or I think maybe the second book, was The Housemaid. And Kelly loved it. It's by Freida McFadden. Kelly was like obsessed with this book. And she went and like read all the others in the series. And now like every time there's a new Freedom McFadden book, Kelly like goes and gets it. Like she, I know. I texted her. I was like, there's a big display. Like, and she was like, I know. I'm so excited. She's like, three new books out. I know. Like Kelly high-fived me the other day when she heard that I finished a book. Cause like reading is not like her thing. I was like, I wasn't a good writer.
That's so funny.
I know. She loved the book. So I just saw they've been posting about it, but Sydney Sweeney, Amanda Seyfried, Brandon Sklenar, are in it. And I just sent it in my group chat with Kelly and Kaylin. And Kelly was like, I can't wait. I'm so excited. It's like December 19th. It's going to be good, but you will like the book. So it has an insane twist. So you should read the book before you see the movie and you have time because okay. That's December.
Well, I do have time.
What else? We've got him coming out this weekend, right?
Yeah, and I have Jordan Peele movie. Franklin to see it. So annoyed.
Really? Why?
It's not playing at my AMC.
That's
I don't know
fucking
why.
Annoying.
But I just bought a ticket for the Margot Robbie, Colin Farrell movie.
What is it, Big Beautiful World or something?
Something like that. I'm seeing it in Dolby Atmos. So excited.
Nice.
It looks like it's going to be such a, like, just one of those movies that, like, is like, oh, it's going to be like that.
Can I just say something?
Oh, boy.
Can I just say how unfair it is that, like, I'm going to be in Vegas in December and I'm not going to be going to the Sphere to see Wizard of Oz, even though it's playing?
Why?
Tickets are like $300.
Wait, I thought they were really cheap right now.
No. Well,
people are
talking about it
like
changed.
It's like people, I mean, and also, I mean, people have been kind of disappointed by it.
Wait, really? I won't be.
Yeah, have you like seen clips of it?
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't look like it makes the movie look weird.
Well, it's in a big circle, so of course.
People were just underwhelmed by it.
And the thing is, like, it's just like I wouldn't go alone, you know what I mean? And I don't know
why?
If anyone else would like be down. Well, because I'm gonna like be with work people, so like they're gonna want to like we might go see Cirque or something like that, which would be fun. That's what I did last time, and I did go by myself, and I got myself really good tickets, and I left a dinner early to go to Cirque because I was like I wasn't doing anything while I was there, and I was like, why am I not like
you should
doing
go
anything?
To the one thing,
but
I
it'll
remember
be decorated for Christmas. Everything.
The so one thing nice. I remember about Vegas when we went was that. We went to a delicious Italian restaurant in the Venetian.
I remember
it was so delicious.
Oh my God, that's kind of hilarious. Okay, wait, let's see. So if I'm looking at, okay. Let's see.
I mean, maybe it's because it's December. Like that might be, it might be busy.
December 4th, it's a Thursday. If it's $50, I'll just buy it right now and then that's just that. Okay, view tickets, hello. Yeah, $273 each. $843 each, $973 mm-hmm. each. They're so expensive, and these aren't even for like good seats. They're like in the back.
But I think that any seat is a good seat there.
Well,
that's what
they say. I'll never know. I'm so sad though. I'm like that is like something I would fucking kill to
do. Well,
just
keep an eye on it.
Does anyone have any connections to the Sphere? Like, does anyone like? I'll do an ad. We'll do an ad if you let me go.
We'll do an ad for the Sphere.
We'll do an ad for the Sphere if you let me go. Wizard of Oz there. Come on. Maybe if it keeps not selling well. I mean, I've got 3 months. So, like, maybe by then it will be cheaper.
I think you should keep
know.
An eye on it. And I think
I'm
just
not
going to
spend $300 on it. But, like.
But why not?
Because you just said it's not that good.
Yeah, but I don't. Like, I wouldn't. But I don't love Wizard of Oz like you do.
Yeah, but. We'll so, see
like,
how
I wouldn't
after,
spend.
Well, after Wicked Fever also, it could be more intense. We'll see. We'll see also, not to mention Wicked's coming out. Oh, my God. We'll see also. I might want to. I mean, there might be other shows that are just like I probably would rather spend $300 on a Cirque du Soleil ticket than the Wizard of Oz in the Sphere. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because like,
I just
can't
think. Keep an eye on it.
Okay. Okay. All right. I will. Anyway, that just would be so fun. Okay. So we got. Jordan Peele movie coming out this weekend. We get the Margot Robbie movie.
I need to see the Downton Abbey movie, which we already established.
Right.
Caroline is not interested in seeing.
Won't be there. Don't look for me there. Won't be there.
The History of Sound. I need to see.
Wait, what is that movie?
Paul Mescal and Josh O'Connor.
Oh, can I say something about Paul Mescal? The cover that he's on right now. I don't get it. Like he. Okay, I'm not gonna like talk shit on someone's appearance, but like he should be tanner.
He's Irish.
He look okay. Like he looks
and
translucent.
He's playing Paul McCartney. He can't be tan right now.
He looks translucent and he's wearing a white tank and he's wet in the cover. Go
Caroline,
look at the cover, please.
I've seen it. No, oh, I saw great. You already have a poster. This morning.
Oh, wait. Move your head. No, Phoebe, move your fucking head right now to the left. Move it now. Phoebe already has it framed inside on her wall. Phoebe's obsessed with Paul Mescal. She already has the cover that I think it looks like a vampire in. She already has it on her freaking wall. Phoebe, obsessed much? Dude, he's dating Gracie Abrams. I'm sorry, you just think they're doing well.
Why, like, is my theater still playing Freaky or Friday?
I thought you were just like, why is he dating Gracie Abrams instead of me? I don't know why they're still playing that. That's actually weird. I need to watch K-pop Demon Hunters.
And Weapons.
Okay, but like that makes me happy because here's the thing. There's so many movies I need to see, but I want to see Weapons again. It was so good. Okay, ouch. I have other... you missed the point. I'm prioritizing of other things I need to see. I need to see The Long Walk. I need to see... Oh, I wanted to see The Roses, but I'm like probably going to miss it now at this point.
I think Mimi really liked it, but I was like, I think that I'm waiting until that's on streaming.
Yeah, I guess that is a movie I could wait for on streaming. Him, okay, A Big, Bold, Beautiful Journey is the Margot Robbie one. Which I'm just like,
him is a must-see in theaters, I think.
There's The Strangers coming. The Strangers is like Kelly's favorite.
I know. I didn't realize there was a new one coming out.
Yeah, that's...
Until the other day.
When is this coming out?
Hopefully October.
Is that Madeline Petsch? Is that Gabrielle? Who the fuck is in this? No, Madeline Petsch. Okay. Nice.
Because she was in the last one.
Oh, I totally
forgot
that.
Wait, did she live in the last one?
September 26th. So soon. I don't remember. I need to watch it again. All the like horror movies kind of just blend together to me, not going to lie.
Yeah, I agree. I love them in the moment, though. I have started to realize that like I do just like at the end of the night putting a horror movie on. Like I just...
That's so weird. I like putting on just like a movie that I've already seen 1,000 times and that is like going to bring me comfort, or live feeds. That's what I fall asleep to.
Fair enough.
Live feeds is like the perfect thing to fall asleep to.
I love like just like The Conjuring. Just throw it on.
Girl, you're fucked, but you're scared to go in the ghost store to see Scrunchie the doll?
Yeah, because that's real. That's in person.
Guys, I told Phoebe like about one of the stops on the Millvale ghost tours where we meet this like really creepy fucking doll. And she's like, now doesn't think she's going to go on that one. Don't worry, it's not the October 4th one. But I'm like, girl, you have to go. You got to go. It's going to be fun. Mom's going to go.
Okay, if mom goes, I'll go with mom.
You'll go to the Millvale one with mom.
With mom.
Write it in blood on the wall so I know you're not telling a lie.
Well, I don't want to get it on my Paul Mescal poster.
Okay, that's why you have it under glass, under a six inch bulletproof glass. Okay, Taylor Swift vibes. I was like, Taylor, why are you doing this? And then I was like, oh, we live in America.
Yeah, I think she got a threat this week.
She did?
That's what people are saying.
Good for her still showing up.
But that was confirmed a bulletproof...
Yeah, I know.
Partition.
Did you hear the people in the video? Like, are you kidding me? They're like so pissed off that she has the partition. I'm like okay, it's just relax.
And also what's so crazy is like then you see the comments on all the videos of Hailee Steinfeld at the Highmark Stadium in Buffalo. Mm-hmm. And they're like, wow, Taylor could never. Taylor could never make this moment about Travis in the way that Hailee does. Like, Hailee doesn't want to be shown. And it's like, well, there's two things. Number one, I love Hailee Steinfeld. She's not Taylor Swift.
People aren't clamoring to see her but the way also, they are for Taylor.
That stadium isn't set up in a way where they can constantly show. It's a tiny stadium. They're building a new one. And when that changes, we will be seeing Hailee Steinfeld.
Yes. Well, can I also just say something? Taylor is not the person who is putting the cameras on Taylor or who is like making her the center of attention. We are.
She can't win though. Like she can't win because people are like, she has to be the center of attention. It's like when she tries to block her walk into where it is, it's like, oh,
I know.
Oh, she has to do this.
Everyone, I know. And it's like, okay, it's like you didn't even listen to Antihero. That's exactly what she means when she says, sometimes I feel like everybody's a sexy baby and I'm a monster on a hill, too big to hang out. Like, too big to hang out. Anywhere she goes, whether she likes it or not, it's going to be about Taylor Swift. And that's not because of her. It's because of us and the culture that we've created around who she is as a person.
Right.
You know? So, like, sorry, find your local Swiftie chapter and talk to them about it if you're so upset. With words, maybe? Not cyber threats? Thanks. Anyway, do you have anything else to talk about before we get into our rotations?
Nope.
I did not prep my rotation, so it's going to be off the freaking cuff, but you're up first.
First is going to be the Steelers bar I found yesterday.
Fuck yes!
Because, listen, I'm not going to disclose what I was using to watch games that weren't on my cable television. But it's since been taken down. my ability to be able to watch other games.
Oh my god.
So I was trying some other ones out and like we couldn't get it on my TV and then it got like taken down mid game. So at halftime we were like, we just need to find a place to go watch the game. And I remembered I saw a Steelers banner outside of a bar that's like half a mile down the street from where I live. And I was like, well, okay.
How did you not find this before, though, is my question.
Well, it's new. The bar moved, and I think that this is them embracing the sports is kind of new this year to try to get more people, and it's working because it was packed.
Cool. Well, you were there. Well, you were sure as hell there. We
went on their Instagram, and they have a Steelers bar in the main floor, and then the Patriots fan club upstairs.
What the fuck?
It's so funny. And it's also a Penn State bar.
What
so
the
like on
hell?
Saturdays, it's like a Penn State. It's a place to go watch Penn State games.
That's so funny.
And so, like, literally, like, on their, like, deals for game days, they have drinks and sandwiches named after. They have, like, a Yinzer sandwich. They have, like, a Yinzer drink.
Oh, my God.
Like, they have different.
Wow,
like, okay,
talk about freaking comfort food.
Okay, when am I going to get IC Light to be carried here?
Well,
when
yeah. What's
am
the
I
going
to get Iron City beer here?
Yeah, you need to like really like you did at the tab. You need to make friends with the bartenders and like the owners and just start figuring out what's the vibe,
how we're gonna get Icy Light and
yeah,
the state of Tennessee.
Exactly.
But so we went there. It was great. The food was good, and it's just good to know that it's like right there, like right down there.
So cool. You walked there.
So we walked. Yeah.
Oh, that's so.
They were a little annoyed. Matt and Mimi were a little bit like, "Why did we walk?" And I was like. Are we gonna call an Uber to go down the block? Like that would have been awkward.
Yeah.
We can make the trek.
Yeah.
But it was hot. I like wore a sweatshirt because we were sitting inside, and then I was like, well, we don't really have time for me to change, and I don't know, like my other Steelers shirt isn't clean. So anyway, it was good. The food was good. $5 drinks.
Perfect. Wow.
And Steelers on every single screen.
Amazing.
Millions of screens, and then they played Renegade before the fourth quarter.
My God, they're like a
Which
true
is like,
Steelers fan.
They like really got in
hole.
It to be Steelers bar. So anyway,
that.
There's that. Next is just the fact that video of that little girl who's doing makeup on her face where she goes
it's resurfaced.
She goes.
And her little, I know, her little. By the way, this isn't a video podcast. Phoebe just put a little dot on her face, mimed it, and then made a little eyebrow move, just like the little girl in that video. If you don't know what we're talking about, get cultured.
That video is so awesome. And last,
Phoebe will put it on our stories.
We'll do Tramell Tillman.
Okay,
and
sweet.
Britt Lauer. I'll just do the Severance winners from last
okay.
night.
Okay, but God, how amazing! Like his speech.
But I literally laughed out loud when he said that because I'm like, that's not George O'Connell.
No, all mothers, all good mothers are. I was like,
wait, what did he say?
Well, at
he
first was I was like, is he calling his acting coach mother, or is he saying like, that was his mother?
He was. What did
mom responded and goes crying.
My acting coach was tough.
It's tough.
But all mothers
all
are.
Mothers are. I know. It was so good. You make time for what you want to make time for. You show up for what you want to show up for. You do the work. Like, I just, like, yeah, that is really all it is. Like, and I just loved it. I love him. And I think he's so handsome. And I think he's mm-hmm. so talented. And, like, Mr. Milchuk's, like, one of my favorite parts of Severance, and I just was thrilled to see him get his flowers. It was really, and the fact that he is the first Black man to ever win that award, it's hard to believe, but 77 years, like, I mean, I'm sorry. The fact that is the world we're living in, whether or not we have enough people to choose from for the nominations, why are we not casting more people of color in roles that can earn them these sort of nominations? You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I just think it's there are moments, we're still having moments every day that are sobering and moments when we realize how far we still have to go and how, wow, there's this illusion of all this like forward progress that we've made. And, you know, there is a lot of forward progress, but then you look at things and you're like, huh, that's been a really long time and this hasn't happened or these things mm-hmm. are still happening or the, it's just, okay. Thank you for your rotation. My nightmare rotation. Hard to honestly come up with one right now. Not because everything is so great, just because there are so many things I could do.
Kidney stone one,
kidney stone two. those can fill the first two slots. Maybe my 12-foot skeleton lighting kit that I now own. Thank God for that. I don't know. I also just want to do a quick little call out, and not for a nightmare rotation moment. Let's just say that was my nightmare rotation this week. I just don't have it in me to do it in another way right now. But I think if you're feeling some type of way, Mary Beth Barone had a really great moment on the most recent episode of The Ride Pod. Did you hear it? Did you listen to the last week's? She basically, like, she wrote a rant about how Democratic politicians are failing the Democratic Party, and she...
Oh, yeah, I did hear that.
I thought it was... She was so well said, and she's so well spoken, and, like, I think it's amazing and brave for her to use her platform that way, and especially in this time. And I don't know. I just think it was a good reminder to me of, like, I don't know. I don't know what I'm trying
to say. Well, it's also just, like, beliefs are nothing without work. So, like, she's doing work for what she... Even if you disagree with her, there's some stuff she said where I was like, we would probably disagree on this. But, like, she is doing the work, and she's educating herself in a way, and then she's educating others, and that doesn't seem like a burden to her. She's like, I didn't know what a governor is, so I learned, and I'm gonna make a video so you guys all know what a governor does.
And she is such an interesting perspective too, because she's very openly, like, was a Republican for the first half of her life, and so she comes from a different kind of viewpoint, you know, where, like, it's not like she's just been in sort of like an echo chamber her whole life, and these are her views. Like, she's come to them in a very honest way of, like, growth and whatever. And, yeah, whether or not you agree with everything people say when they're talking like that, it's just admirable to, like...
Yeah, exactly. And I think we need less keyboard warrioring, and we need more of, like, volunteer. Like, she... Yeah. Whether he's your candidate or not, she's been... Zohran Mamdani is her candidate, and she is doing the work to make sure that she...
She can say, when it's all said and done, that she fucking tried it.
Exactly.
You know, she did
so
what,
like,
she believed in, and she...
It's important.
For it.
If you want the systems to change, it doesn't come from TikTok comments or tweeting.
No, it doesn't. So we got it. We have to do
the
work.
Or not voting.
Exactly. Or not voting, sorry, in your party. If, like, it's, you know, like, we got to fucking get behind our leaders, but we need good leaders. And it's just scary right now. And I respected her taking the time to do it and make that comment, especially knowing that I can't even imagine the feedback. Like, I think anyone who listens to the podcast probably is, like, on the same wavelength as them. But I can imagine that she's not treated with kindness regarding that topic, you know what I mean? And so it's just like, it's honestly brave of her, and especially at a time when she knows overcompensating was just renewed for season two, like, eyes are on her, and she's not wasting the moment, and I think it's awesome. And anyway, so it's not a nightmare rotation, but I just want to, like, shout that out. And I guess, like, yeah, I guess that's just how I know it's a weird thing to end it on. And
well, I think all I'll end it on is, I think y'all all should. I think it's really important that we all turn off our phones and just go
throw
outside.
Throw your cellular device in the water.
And, you know, Lord was onto something with that, for sure.
Like,
it's truly...
Just do it.
It's tearing our country apart, and it's ruining lives, and it's ruining our brains.
Yeah, and I do want to say, like, just circling back to what you said about the Sesame Street thing and the fire, like, think about how badly we fucking need tools like that today. Think about the things that kids are seeing today. Yeah, we saw 9/11 on our TVs, and that was horrifying, and that was the most horrifying thing we had ever seen at that point. I can't say that if I were a first grader in today's world that would even be true. And the things that I would have to think about as a fucking first grader are so different than, like, the things that I had to think about when I was in first grade. And if that doesn't make you fucking...
But also, not that different, because nothing's changed.
No, exactly. But I just
it's been,
like,
over 30 years of this.
Yeah. And,
but I understand what you mean. The accessibility of seeing it.
Yeah.
But
exactly.
Also just, and, like, I mean, you didn't have to worry about opening your phone and seeing some of the stuff that we have to see now.
No.
That's just auto playing, and in these companies that are profiting off of number one, the division in the world, and number two, the shocking stuff we're now having to see on our
feed. It's just being fed. Like, I was not trying to see anything, and I didn't have a choice.
It was the first,
like,
thing I saw when I logged onto Twitter.
I was watching a Big Brother live feed video, and it slid
to the
next
thing
video.
That comes up.
Like, and so I just think about the kids, and, like, I think you said it to me, maybe. I don't know if it was on air, but it's just, like, we were not meant to see these types of things and process them and see so many at a time. And, like, our brains were not meant to. We are being changed by this. And
think
of these kids, like,
who it's all they know.
And we have, like, there are things like Sesame Street and PBS that we're, like,
exactly
creating programming to help kids, like,
right,
talk about things like this and deal with it. And now it's fucking gone. What are they supposed to do? Like, how are we protecting them?
And adults aren't equipped to deal with it because we have no idea. And we're seeing, I mean, the uptick in violence is.
We keep wanting people to be better. When are we going to realize they aren't? We need to prepare for them to not be as good as we know they can be.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's what we have. We can't be thinking, we can't live in fear, but we also can't be thinking that, like, people are better than they are, because we're going to fucking set ourselves up for failure over and over. Like, we need to just, like, help our fucking kids, like, just but not just kids, like, each other. Like,
and talk to your neighbors, talk to people, real people. Go out. There's this, here's what we'll end on. There's a Kurt Vonnegut little excerpt that I like to come back to, that's about buying envelopes, which is a random thing, but it's a conversation between him and his wife, and she says, well, you're not a poor man, you know, why don't you go online and buy 100 envelopes and put them in the closet? And so I pretend not to hear her, and I go out to get an envelope because I'm going to have a hell of a good time in the process of buying one envelope. I meet a lot of people, and I see some great-looking babies, and a fire engine goes by, and I give them the thumbs up, and I'll ask a woman what kind of dog that is. And, I don't know, the moral of the story is we're here on Earth to fart around, and of course the computers will do us out of that. And what the computer people don't realize, or they don't care, is we're dancing animals. You know, we love to move around, and it's like we're not supposed to dance anymore.
Wow.
So go outside. Don't wear your headphones. Look at the flowers in your neighbor's garden. Go get a coffee.
Connect with people. Remember your humanity. Remember, like, what this is all fucking for. And remember, like, what is still, like, beautiful and good in the world that is worth protecting and saving. And if there is something that is especially important to you, find ways to fucking get involved. Talk to people. Like, you don't have to be an expert on every single thing. You don't have to care about every single thing. But if there are things you do care about, fucking care about them.
And if you're feeling, like, disillusioned about the state of our politics, which everybody does right now, makes sense to be the change. Go get involved in your whatever your politics are. Go get involved and be the difference. You can.
Yeah.
Our country will get through it. We've gotten through some pretty intense things before.
All right, guys. Well, I think that's about it. thank you so much for joining us for this kind of weird episode. We love you so much. Tune in on Thursday. We are heading back into Pretty Little Liars recap land. We'll be doing our recap of season 7, episode 18 of Pretty Little Liars. And last week, if you didn't tune in, you had a very fun, very Hulu off the cuff, Pretty Little Punch Bowl. We got a few people who joined the Patreon afterwards, and I was like, that makes sense to me, because we couldn't, like, distinguish whether or not we were recording a Patreon for, like, our close personal friends or if it was us doing, like, a normal Thursday episode. And so we kind of just went all
it
over
was
the
like,
place.
It was
talking
like
about
Mark's
all kinds of things.
Innie and Audie getting reintegrated. Was
absolutely.
That us recording that?
So it's kind of chaotic. And if you, like, weren't sure if you were going to be into the Punch Bowls, I would just urge you to, like, give that one a listen and then decide, because I think you might surprise yourself. You might actually fucking love it. But we are back to recaps this week. We will be doing a Pretty Little Liars centric episode on the Patreon this weekend. We did release a podcast. Remember Pop Tab Wars? Anyway, we did release a podcast episode yesterday on the Patreon for our first tier. Go check that out. We talked about the Unknown Caller documentary. We talked about Hunting Wives. and everything in between, of course. And then we are releasing our Halloween merch this week, so keep an eye. I posted it on our stories, but guys, that's super, super cute. You can get it in time for the holiday. Wear it if you're coming to a ghost tour. Ghost tour information is on our Instagram. Please, I would love to see you there. I'm going to be putting the links in our stories, but it would be such a fun time for us to get together in the Pretty Little Liars spooky season and all of that. Okay, we love you guys so much. Thank you for listening. Please give us a 5-star review if you love our podcast, and even if you don't. And we will see you next week.
And spot.